You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of New Age Hipster Radio. Today on the show, we have Emma Howarth as our special guest. She is a lifestyle and travel writer, a horoscope columnist for Glamour UK, so fancy. She's the author of two magical books. Her memoir, A Year of Mystical Thinking, Make Life Feel Magical Again, was published by Hay House in 2021. And her latest book, which we're going to talk about today, is the Astrology Almanac 2024. And that is available to pre-order now. Emma is also a fan of a good cup of tea, and she has a cat called Moonbeam. Welcome, Emma. Welcome.
We love those little tidbits, right? The tea and the cat. I need to know that about people.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel like my whole bio is just, I like tea, I like cats, I like this, I like fries. Anyway, this is about you. So hi and welcome. I would love to just kind of start our conversation today just by kind of asking you a little bit about your origin story. I love to ask this of my guests, to just kind of ask, you know, how did you get here? Like, what's your story? How did you get into spiritual stuff? How did you go from, you know, whenever that happened to here you are as a celebrated writer and author and doing all these magical things?
Thank you for calling me celebrated.
Nice. You are. I celebrate you.
Oh, thanks. That's so lovely. Well, I guess probably like many people, the answer to that question is I think it was probably always there, that kind of interest in the spiritual. I mean, I was definitely probably a lot like you. A teenage witch. So I, you know, spent a lot of time reading tarot cards to my friends in my bedroom back home in Yorkshire. And a lot of time, you know, I lived in the countryside, so a lot of time out under the stars. And I think that's kind of where I was also one of those kids that was always at the bottom of the garden making the potions. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I think people say that and they don't really mean it, but I really was. I was convinced I could make perfume out of like cherry blossom and stuff. So I think it was always there, but my kind of sort of rediscovery of a lot of those things really happened after I had like a really difficult year in 2017. And at the end of that year, like lots and lots of things had happened. It was kind of like a pile up of tricky life events. My husband's father died, that sort of sent us all into a bit of a spiral. Everything felt really hard. And I was really like looking for something. And I kept kind of almost being like, maybe what I need to do is learn Reiki. Maybe what I need to do is go to Bali. I was trying to think of something. I was like, I need to do something. And then I was sort of in our messy, disorganized basement. And I found my old tarot cards, which had probably been carried around in like a packing box for several years at that point. And it just had this like light bulb moment where I was like, I remembered someone saying to me, when you lose your way in life, you should look back to what lit you up when you were younger. And it just kept like going right onto my head like a mantra. And I was like, this is what I need to do. I need to go on a spiritual journey. And then I was like, right, I'll do what Elizabeth Gilbert did, obviously. I'll like get me on the first flight to India. But then I remembered I had like a job and a husband and two children and quite a lot of responsibility, and that wasn't going to happen anytime soon. So I basically decided at the end of that really bad year that I would spend the next year, which was 2018, either discovering or rediscovering, in the case of things like tarot that I'd already had an interest in, like I would discover or rediscover a different mystical or spiritual practice every month for a year in a bid to make my life better and feel more magical again. But my big point was, you know, if it's free, if it's easy, if it's accessible, like then all the better, because I needed to find magic where I already was. I couldn't go off on the big voyage of discovery as much as I would love to, if that makes sense. So that kind of, I didn't do that project with a book in mind, although I am a writer and I did start a blog. I did it to make myself feel better. And it was only 2 years later that someone went, oh, why don't you turn that into a book? So the book happens. In that time, I'd kind of, you know, rediscovered my astrology roots, which I'd always been into. So I started writing the horoscopes. I don't know, it just kind of all piled into each other. And the funny thing is that my original conversation with my agent was about, he was looking for someone to write an astrology book. And we were put in touch by a friend who'd come to I used to run like local new moon, full moon circles. And she'd come to one, and she had a brother who was an agent who wanted someone to write an astrology book. I wrote horoscopes for Glamour. So I wrote back to him. This is all during the pandemic, and said, yeah, I can write you an astrology book. I've written loads of books. You know, I've written books for Time Out, all that kind of thing. But I've also got this idea about writing the story of this mystical year I went on, and that was the beginning of that. But now it's gone full circle, because now I've got an astrology book.
I love that. And your first book, I remember when that came out, and I think I there was a quote that I said that was like, it was an eat, pray, love for the rest of us, something.
Oh,
that,
yes, because
something
you...
like that. That I said, can't remember
you,
exactly what I said.
You're the back cover quote on my book.
I should have got the book and checked that before I. Yes, on my shelf back here.
You said, "An eat, pray, love for the rest of us." Yeah, this book is the kindling that will relight your inner spark and help you see the magic in your life again. How nice is that?
That I said that.
Yeah.
I loved the book. And the thing, you know, like you were just saying then, it's like Eat, Pray, Love was great, and it definitely inspired like a whole bunch of people to go and do something and have an adventure and like get out of your comfort zone. But not everybody can go and live in Italy for 3 months and then India for 3 months or whatever. Like, for most people, that's just we're not going to do that. So the fact that you kind of just explored these practices in such a way that anybody could, anyone can pick up that book and be like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and have my own eat, pray, love in a way that I can, that works.
Yeah.
For my life.
And I did get a lot of emails from people who literally have like just gone through and done it month by month. Like, they've just gone, right, what did Emma do in January? Right, I'm doing the same. And I love that. I think that's fantastic. And so many people, I get emails from people all the time going, oh, I've just done my level 2 Reiki because I read your book, or I've just got some oracle cards. It's just so nice to think that all these, you know, you don't even have to go as far as studying Reiki. You can just buy the oracle cards, just light a candle, stir a wish into your tea. Like, there are so many ways to make life feel more magical that are accessible. And that's really my big thing, is like, how can we make the mystical spiritual world feel more accessible to people, and not feel like these perfect people in perfect matching outfits doing perfect yoga poses with a sunset behind them, because that isn't my life. That is, even, you know, if I tried to do that, I'd probably fall over.
But I feel like it's no one's life. Like, when I look at people who are sharing that stuff on Instagram, and they do have, you know, they have a bunch of the perfect photos and they've gone on a retreat or whatever, and then, you know, a couple of weeks later you see them posting, they're crying about something, or they're sharing like, you know, behind the Instagram or whatever. It's like, even for the people that it looks real, it's not real.
Yes. And that's really important to remember as well. And important, not, I guess, as well, not to judge those people who do post the perfect pictures, because, yeah, we all want to look at a perfect picture. And I like to post pictures of myself where I look nice. Like, that's normal. Like, everyone does that. So, yeah, we shouldn't be judging people. But also, I think it's, you know, it's important just to know that there's magic out there for everybody. You don't have to be rich or have loads of time or live in a cool urban city with loads of fancy shops. Like, you can do it wherever you are.
Yeah, I love that. Such an important message, and I think why so many people jumped on that book, because everyone was just like, yeah, like this is so relatable. Like, how can I be spiritual and woo-woo when I still have to go to work and do the school run and these all these other things that people are doing?
I mean, and also people who are doing the school run, they need it more than anyone, because school runs is a hell on
Exactly. I didn't have kids, but I used to be a teacher, so I've seen it from the other side of,
Oh,
like,
you know.
just get the kids out, just get them picked up, get them home. So
Totally.
I'd love to talk a little bit about astrology, because obviously this is your thing, right? Like, astrology is, well, you have lots of things.
Yes, I have lots of things. I mean, I'd say my main thing really is writing. That's my thing. And yeah, within that, I mean, I've definitely found that my most fun writing job ever has probably been writing horoscopes. I mean, I didn't really realize how fun that would be until I started doing it. Brilliant. I love it. And people seem to really connect with them, which is really nice. And again, I think I'm sort of following the same principle with the way I write about astrology that I applied to A Year of Mystical Thinking, which is trying to make it just feel really easy and accessible. Because for a lot of people, it just sounds really complicated. And I think we need to get away from this idea that you have to understand every single thing about astrology to get something out of it. Like, you can just look up like what your rising sign is, what your moon sign is, and what your sun sign is, and you can get loads just out of that. You don't need to understand everything in intricate detail immediately to benefit from, I always think of astrology as just another guidance tool, really, like oracle cards, just a way of trying to understand yourself better, a way of trying to understand the world better, other people better, which all maybe leads to better relationships in the real world, which is the world that we're like living in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad you said that. Well, I'm so glad you said a couple of things there, because astrology is hard. Like,
I mean,
I tried so many
it's
times
so
to, like, I've got so many astrology books. I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna really learn astrology. Like, I know the basics, but it's like, okay, I'm really gonna dive into this. And every time I try, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
It's really complicated, and I think it really takes a certain type of brain. And honestly, I don't know if I've even got that brain that really gets into the nitty-gritty of it. I think I've got a really good overview understanding, and I'm perfectly happy to admit that I am constantly learning. Like, obviously, the best way to learn something is to spend all your time doing it, right? So I definitely knew enough to start writing horoscopes, but in the last few years, I've learned more and more and more every time I, set pen to paper about something that's going on in the skies. But I definitely wouldn't put myself in the category of being like the best astrologer in the world ever or anything. I'd probably send you to someone else.
You see all these people talking about it, like, oh, I've been studying astrology for like 50 years. It's like, oh, okay. Like, that's pretty, yeah, there's a lot to learn.
There's always someone who knows more, who's dived in more depth, and that's amazing. Those people are for some people, and I'm for other people, and it's all good.
You touched on you mentioned the like the big three, like your sun sign, your rising sign, and your moon sign. If there's people listening to this today who are kind of like, oh, well, I know my sun sign, but that's kind of it. Like, I'm a bit of an astrology noob, I don't really know anything else. Could you give us a rundown of like what the sign those three signs actually mean, like once you kind of discover what they are and how you can kind of work with those?
Yeah, for sure. So to discover what they are in the first place, you ideally need to know your date, time, and place of birth. And the time's quite important, because that's how you find out what your rising sign is, because that changes every couple of hours, whereas a moon sign maybe changes every 2 days. So ask your mom if you can. And cross your fingers, she remembers. It's very bad parenting if she can't. It is not impossible to work out what your rising sign is without that time, but you do need someone to go into a bit more depth with you, like basically book an astrologer to go through your birth chart, and hopefully they'll be able to work it out. But yeah, once you've got that rising sign, the rising sign is so valuable to get, because once you've got it, you need to start reading your horoscope for your rising sign, because essentially that's how horoscopes are written. So for me, like, I'm Pisces, but my rising sign is Virgo. So I always read Pisces because I'm a Pisces, but I always read Virgo as well. And usually what's happening with Virgo will match up more with what's going on in my life, just because it matches up with the birth chart. So your rising, your sun sign is your kind of core self. It's like who you are. It's like how you shine in the world. And I think most people probably do connect with or identify with, you know, some of the things they've heard about that sign. Usually you find that. And often the people who don't connect with their sun sign, which, you know, is just your star sign, often once they discover their moon and rising sign, the pieces of the puzzle will come together for them. So your rising sign is kind of like your public self. It's like the you that you present to the world. Which is, I found quite an interesting one when I discovered that mine was Virgo a long time ago. So I was like, I'm not a Virgo. Obviously I'm coming across as a lot more organized and together than I really am. And also Virgo is a lot deeper than being organized and together. And then your moon sign is like your inner self, your like emotional self. It kind of shows what you need to feel safe and secure in the world, and that can be really interesting and answer quite a lot of questions. So say you're like a Leo moon, you probably have this really like deep need to feel seen by people, and once you know that about yourself, you can kind of express that, maybe. I don't know, that this is, it's, you know, it's everyone gets a different picture. What are your big three?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you. I mean, I've obviously looked it up, and you know, I have a pretty good idea about my top three, but I was wondering if you could like analyze me just as a kind of example for the show.
I can try.
So my just like do my chart. So my sun is Gemini.
Oh, and we love a Gemini.
Some people do. Like, I'd actually be interested to hear your thoughts on that, because we get a lot of flack.
Well, it's because of Donald Trump and Boris Johnson.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
Kanye. Those three, they ruined it.
Stop listing them here, please. Yeah, we have some. Okay. We have some interesting. There's some interesting people who are Geminis, definitely. Mm. Yeah, so that's my sun. My moon is Cancer, and my rising is Pisces.
Well, obviously Pisces are amazing.
Yes, obviously.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Gemini, I mean, what I love Geminis, or what I love about Geminis is that they, you know, they're kind of so on it and witty and quick thinking, and they're full of ideas. And I think I probably see that in you. You know, you're always putting something new out into the world, I think, if you know, from your social media anyway. And you know, you embrace lots of ideas. And the reason why Geminis get a bit of bad press is often because they're thought to be kind of a bit, the cliche is two-faced, or a bit, you know, they'll change their mind. But I think the truth about Gemini is more that they have genuinely, they're so quick thinking, and they've genuinely come round to another way of thinking by the time you get to the end of the conversation, or they've genuinely moved on, and they genuinely think that this restaurant is now the better one to go to tonight. And it's not like they're not being fickle, they're just quick. And then what do you say, Pisces rising? Well, that's just obvious. Like, everything you do is Pisces rising. Pisces is like the mystic of the zodiac. So you're like, you know, the queen of the mystics. So
I'll
that
take
makes
it.
total
I'll
sense,
take it.
I think. Yeah, you could put that on your next book, Queen of the
Queen of the
Mystics.
Mystics. I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should change my website, change my social media, Queen of the Mystics. Yeah.
Isn't that nice, though? You
That's
could kind of
that's
get a
the
crown in
Gemini.
your
I'm
photos.
like, I'm already there. I've changed everything. It's like new branding. It's all there.
I'm the Queen of the Mystics now. And Cancer Moon is an interesting one because Cancer is the sign that's ruled by the moon, and that is the sign that's very much associated with the domestic sphere and like home and family. So I would probably guess that for you, having a real sense of home and family and security is really important to you. If you're going to thrive, you need to know you've got all of that stuff nailed. You know, you need your people, your friends, your inner circle, safe place to be, a place to retreat to. And you probably also need to feel a lot of feelings because that's quite Cancer. You need to be free to feel your feelings, but it's quite Cancer and it's quite Pisces. It's not that Gemini, though.
Yeah, so I had this really interesting experience where, I'd gone through like so much of my life just being a Gemini. Like I didn't know about my rising or my moon sign for a really long time, and I kind of like there were a lot of things that I did really resonate with being a Gemini, but I was kind of like, I didn't quite like feel like I've totally fit the Gemini thing. And then as soon as I found out I had all this water in my top three, it was like, okay, so now I know why I'm like an emotional wreck most of the time, and now I know why, like, I can go out and I can be like the Gemini person, but then it's like then I need like 4 days just in the doona watching the OC, like I need to
Oh,
have
love the
like,
OC.
oh
Yeah.
my God, the OC. Are you
So good.
team Ryan or team Seth? The
Oh,
big question.
am I allowed to be team both? Because
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can.
I never really felt I could choose between them in that way. They're so different. But if I had to choose, I mean, I'd probably choose Seth. Would you choose Ryan?
Well, I feel like the first time I watched it, I was definitely team Ryan, and then I watched it again and I was definitely team Seth, but then I watched it again during lockdown and I was kind of a bit like, oh, I don't
Back to
know,
Ryan.
like, yeah,
There is something
I
about a
think
bad
there's
boy, a bad boy turned good.
I think I'm gonna have to I think I'm gonna have to just admit it that I am team Ryan. But Seth is also
Okay.
great.
Yeah, I love Seth.
What star
Yeah.
signs would they be?
God, I don't
What sign
know.
would
I feel like Ryan would be like a brooding Scorpio.
Okay.
Don't know, Seth, what's that?
I don't know. What's the most neurotic sign of the
Feel like if I answer that, it would be really insulting, like 12% of people. Yeah,
He's
don't
very
know.
witty. He might have some
Yeah,
Gemini in his chart.
he could be a Gemini, but it doesn't, he's not really calling Gemini, definitely. I don't know.
Is
But I
he?
do know that Barbie is a Pisces, and so is Ken,
Oh.
which I
Okay.
like.
Like officially, or
Yeah,
did you just make
officially.
that
Yeah, no, like they're officially both Pisceans according to their like doll birthdays.
wow, that's
Yeah,
so
it's cool, isn't
interesting.
it?
Why would they both be the same?
I don't know, maybe they just brought out one doll in March and then they brought out the next one in March a bit later. Maybe that's doll time.
I guess that makes sense. That's
Like
interesting.
books, all my books come out in September. They're all Virgos, which I
That
think is a good
is,
thing.
yeah, I think that's
Yeah.
probably a good sign. I actually haven't
Yeah.
thought about my books and what sign they're in. I can't even remember the dates they came out now, so
You should look them up
I'm gonna,
after
yeah, I
this.
will do
Look up
that.
their charts.
I will do that. I feel
Yeah,
like we're
I haven't actually looked up the rising sign of my book, but I might after this.
I feel like we're going off on a really, really beautiful tangent, but I would love to talk a little bit more about your book, because that's what we're supposed to be talking about. I'd love to talk more about the astrology book and What's going to be in it? How's it going to help people? I loved your first book so much because it felt like it just brought spirituality down to earth and made it so accessible. Is the astrology book going to be something similar? Like, is it going to be for people like us who are just kind of like, yeah, we just want to kind of get an idea of what's going on without having to do the 50 years of hardcore astrology training?
Yeah, definitely. So just for people who are watching the video, there it is. It's got a nice shiny
It's
cover.
so pretty.
And it's also got really nice, like it's fully illustrated, so it's
Ooh.
really nice. And it's got a nice little blue ribbon to keep your place, which I'm very excited about. So very much that was, I've kind of taken all my astrology knowledge and tried to make it, become a guide to the year. So it's a guide to 2024 that is easy to understand, even if you're a complete beginner who just knows what your star sign is. So it talks you through each astrological season and what that means and how you might tune into that season. And it's got like lots of cute little, this is your birthstone, this is your tarot card associated with your sign, so lots of like information, lots of like likes and dislikes. So I like the idea that you could flick through it, you could read in depth about one sign if you want to, but also you can maybe just get a few tips on what kind of present or date night your favorite Leo might like.
Ooh, I love
So it's
that.
going to talk you through, I just wanted to make it something that would just, I don't know if anyone's going to read it cover to cover. It may be more of a flick through kind of thing. But then it's got all the astrological dates and moons and full moons, new moons. It's got information about eclipses, retrogrades. So you can read about those things if you want to and if that's interesting to you. But it's kept quite simple. I haven't kind of gone into great detail about anything. One important thing to mention, though, for the Australian audience is that it has been written from a Northern Hemisphere perspective, which I know is a bit of a bugbear
You just know that because of all
the
my ranty posts
Yeah, it's so
that
hard though because there's just
I
way to do it. Like you have to pick somewhere
you
because
do.
you've got to pick a time zone. So all the dates as well. I mean, it won't make a massive difference, but the dates are UK dates. So sometimes, Mercury might have entered Gemini the day before or the day after, depending on where you are. But what I have done to make sure that it is more inclusive, and I would love to be able to do, like, if this does well, maybe we can do them different for
Yeah,
each region. That
today.
would be amazing for 2025. But this, I have got the moon times, the new moon and full moon times for five time zones. So like Los Angeles, New York, London, Sydney, Tokyo, I think is what we went for in the end. So there is, I haven't totally left people out.
I can
Yeah,
I
but
can
even,
accept it.
I mean, it's not perfect, but nothing ever is perfect.
No.
But I think it's still just like a really lovely guide to the year, and that all the information, like for every full moon I've got, what does this mean for your sign? You'll be able to read that. Your this new moon, what does this new moon mean for your sign? So it relates back to the individual each time. So, and there's stuff on how to look up your birth chart and what to do if you want to go deeper. I don't know, I just think it's a really nice, like, giftable book, basically.
Yeah, it sounds really beautiful. And like one thing about being in the Southern Hemisphere is like we're kind of used to it. So we can
Yeah, I'm
we'll
sorry.
work around it. If the book's pretty
Yeah.
enough, then we'll work around
Yeah,
it.
you'll definitely work around it. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of another solution other than
Have
you'd
to.
almost have to have a different edition for the East and West Coast of America. And time zones are that complicated. Like, there's no way you can please everyone. So yeah, it is what it is, and hopefully people will like it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. It sounds really beautiful. I can't wait to get my hands on it. When does it come out? What's the release date?
So release date is the 7th of September, so of this year, but obviously it doesn't actually start as a guide until January. So I'm thinking basically Christmas presents for everyone that you know.
All right,
it's going to be my Christmas present to everyone I know.
I love that.
Doesn't matter who you are, milkman's getting one.
That's what you're getting. Everyone's getting it. I love it. I wanted to ask you, before we kind of finish up with our chat today, you mentioned retrogrades really briefly, and I would love to just have a little bit of a conversation about that, because I know that's something that a lot of people, there's a lot of buzz, like every time a planet is in retrograde, whether it's Mercury or just any planet, or you know, when it's like, oh, the planets are in retrograde, what are we going to do? And there's always this like really interesting thing that happens on social media where it feels like everyone goes into like a collective frenzy about what are we going to do about the retrograde. And I would really love to hear your thoughts on this, because you're such a grounded person, you know what's going on in the planets. What are your thoughts on this? What's your take? How can we deal with it?
I do think, like, you know, a planetary retrograde can be a very handy excuse, like something to blame
yourself,
which I quite like. So if you enjoy having an excuse, go with it, freak out. But honestly, if you were going to really freak out over every planetary retrograde, I mean, some are like 6 months a year, every year, you'd just have to stop life. So Mercury is the one that gets the most press, really. And, you know, there's some really sort of bonkers advice out there. You know, that's 3 times a year for about 3 weeks, there'll be a Mercury retrograde. And people are like, don't sign a contract, don't buy electrical equipment, don't do this. I mean, I would be like, I mean, if you can like delay it by a week and you really feel, you know, your intuition is telling you need to do that for whatever reason, by all means do it. But definitely I would never put, you know, life on hold for a planet. And then I also think there's a really nice thing about, so the side of Mercury retrograde that gets discussed less, I think, is this idea that it's actually just like a bit of a press pause moment, like a kind of reflect, reboot, revisit, like think again, like reassess stuff, which actually is quite nice and something that we all need. So I kind of embrace them for that. Like sometimes you kind of revisit a work project, or you look back at, I know, a chapter of something you've written, and suddenly what you need to do becomes clear during those times. And the other nice thing is, if you just like are a little bit prepared, you can really enjoy, like, you know, say you do end up with like a travel delay, which is kind of a Mercury retrograde sort of vibe, which may or may not be Mercury's fault. But say you do, if you've just like, if you've thought about it and you've kind of put a book in your bag, or you've got a podcast in your headphones, like you could just like enjoy that delay and, you know, use it as an opportunity to slow down a bit and be ready. Check your passports in date, I don't know, all of that kind of stuff. You know, there's things you can do. I like the idea of it as a reminder to just check the plan, double check the dates, because probably something a lot of us need to do anyway. But I'm not really one for the panic.
Yeah, I always feel like that when people are like, oh, check your work. We're not in a Mercury retrograde right now, but I lost all my work
yesterday.
No, but
that is one coming.
Well, maybe we're in the shadow. Maybe we're in the shadow.
In the shadow. Like lost. Like,
oh,
for real,
I wrote
lost.
I wrote a blog post and I wrote it straight into the onto the website, and then Chrome crashed, and I was like, how did this happen? That has happened to me for years, but something, you know, something was in the air. Some planet was messing with.
Oh, that's so annoying.
But when those things happen, it's like, it's a reminder of like, you know, I should have saved it. I shouldn't have been writing it in the thing for like an hour without pressing save at any point. So sometimes it's like just a good reminder to
check yourself. Because that could have been something,
could have been worse,
harder, could have been something with like a deadline that someone was paying you for. You've got to like think about all those possibilities. Yeah. And also whenever stuff like that happens to me, I mean, I hate it, but I always just think the version I'm going to write next is obviously going to be better.
Mine wasn't, but but hey, maybe it could have
been.
Did
you do one of the ones where I just wrote a really long blog post and I lost it, so you're just getting this, bye?
Not exactly, but yeah, it was a much shorter version than what I had before.
It's hard.
I love what you said about how we use it as an excuse, like we use Mercury retrograde as an excuse, but this stuff happens all the time. We lose our work, we make a mistake, we get the wrong date. And I love how people always say, oh, be really conscious of your communication and think about how you're speaking to people. It's like, shouldn't we do that all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe it's just a good thing to have the sort of, you know, 3 times a year reminder that we should actually be doing this all the time, you know, speaking without thinking. You know, we all do it, but we all probably need to do it less. I mean, I really think we all need to just start listening more. That's one of my big things now. I like try really hard to like actually listen to what someone's saying instead of like waiting to speak.
That's such a big one. And I think with social media as well, because everyone's just, we're constantly like speaking and communicating to to our audience. And then when we're scrolling, we're like, no, don't want to look at that. It's interesting.
I mean, I don't know if anyone really wants to listen to anything on social media anymore. I'm a bit like, I can't really remember, this is gonna sound awful, but I can't really remember the last time I saw anything on Instagram that made me stop and go, oh, I haven't thought about that before, or that's really interesting. You know, maybe occasionally someone's recommending a book and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna check out that book. It doesn't feel like there's lots of amazing new ideas. I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit over it.
What do you, as a writer, what do you think about threads?
Obviously I went on it. I don't know, I just, you know, I can see that, like, I did used to love Twitter back in the early days of Twitter. I can see the potential joy in it, but also I'm a bit reluctant to really commit to another app because, you know, I'm trying to, like, I don't know, I need like a social media assistant or something. Like, I've always been really conscious about trying to be really authentic on social media, and like I post in the moment, and that's good. That Threads is quite like that. But I just feel like there's not enough time to do that for multiple platforms. You know, I'm only just getting to grips with TikTok, and there's someone on TikTok, there's a fake me with like thousands of followers and I've got about 300.
What? Wow. Okay.
That's, yeah, you know those Instagram fakes that they make a fake account, they copy all the pictures, and then they go into someone's, you've had them. Yeah. They go into all your followers and go, grand rising, my dear. And try and get people to pay them money. I have one of those, but she's on a TikTok version and she's amassed more followers than me.
What?
She's got pictures of my cats and my kids. It's awful.
Oh my gosh. It's such a weird time, isn't it? Like, it's such a weird time. Yeah. I feel like we've gone off on a bit of a tangent, but I would like to, I feel like this whole conversation went off on tangents, but I think it was really fun. I'm glad we did.
I'm glad
we did that. So just as we're talking about like these challenging times, like we've got all this weird stuff happening on social media. We've got like mad panics during retrograde. Like there's so many things that can kind of get us off our path or kind of make us, you know, feel a little bit like we're not very grounded or we're a bit all over the place. And kind of coming back to, you know, some of the stuff that you talked about in your first book, do you have some suggestions for people, or maybe it's some of the astrology stuff too. Like, do you have some suggestions, just really some practical, a couple of practical things that people can do when they're feeling like overwhelmed, over it, too busy to, or too poor to go to on a retreat to India or whatever it is? Like, how can we kind of find our way?
I mean, it's definitely important to find, you know, find your own way, find what works for you. But easy things that really work for me are things like just getting outside in nature. Like, I'm quite into like walking barefoot on the grass, that kind of thing. That can have a really grounding effect. Like, it's really obvious things, like just take a few deep breaths. Like, it sounds like, oh, don't be so annoying, don't tell me to breathe. But actually, if you do, even if just while you're boiling a kettle, you like actually breathe in, maybe hold it for a second, actually breathe out, it sends a message to your nervous system that like it's all right. And that can be really calming. So things like that. And then I think really, like, you know, find your magic, find your joy. Like, this is the one of the most important things that any of us can do, like whatever that is. And it might be the simplest thing in the world for you, or you might really just only a trip to India will do, in which case you're gonna have to work that out. But you know, most of us can find joy and find magic in something simple. And I just do loads of really simple things, like, you know, make a wish and I light a candle, you know, whatever, when I blow out a candle, when I light it, what, you know, whatever, it doesn't have to be your birthday. And I like to sort of stir intentions into a cup of tea. And if I have a bath, at the end of the bath, I'll let the water drain out and I'll imagine anything that I want to let go of going down the drain. And they're sort of turning routines, turning things you're doing anyway into rituals can be really powerful. So for someone else, like, I would love to be the kind of person who has like a really solid skincare regime, but I'm not. But say you were that person who actually does take off your makeup every night and cleanses, tones and moisturizes, you could turn that into a real ritual where you're imagining like letting go of the day and like really calming down. And, you know, and there's lots of other things that you might find you're doing every day that you can turn into something magical. And I think that a combination of that, finding magic in the small things and going on a quest, seeking joy, basically finding what makes you feel like life is magical and full of potential and fitting more of it into your life.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I feel like I might need to take a few deep breaths.
I'm feeling that. This has been amazing. Thank you so much, Emma, for your time today. I am so excited about your new book coming out, and also want to recommend your previous book to everybody as well. I will, of course, post all the links on the show notes and on the website. So, you know, wherever you're watching this, you can find the links and everything. Would you like to just let people know as well a little bit more about how they can find you, how they can connect with you, and yeah, find out more about your work?
Yes, so I would love people to find me, because I'm always up for finding more people. Plus, publishers really care about how many followers you've got these days. So any new friends are welcome. But yeah, the best place to find me is probably Instagram. And I'm at Emma Howarth Writes on there, and I'm always up for a little DM chat, so feel free to slide into my DMs. Well, not if you're one of those people who's sliding in that way. Not interested in that side of it.
Keep it clean, people.
Keep it clean, please. And I've got a website, emmahowarth.com. I won't be doing any over the summer, but I do try to do a day of like readings, which can be like tarot readings or mini birth chart readings, like once a month. I've got a newsletter, which is good to sign up for, completely free newsletter. And I just did my first kind of free subscriber only online meditation magic event, which went really well. Lots of people, like 50 people. And that was really beautiful. So I'd love more people to sign up to the newsletter and get more people involved in that. And yeah, read the books, find the books. I'm just I'm just out here trying to make the world be more magical.
I love
Join
it so
me.
much. And you're absolutely, absolutely doing that for sure. So thank you so much for your time today, Emma. Thank you everyone for listening. Do be sure to check out Emma's new book, check out her first book. I will post all of the links so you can find that really easily. Pop over and follow her on Instagram. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm New Age Hipster 333 over there. And I look forward to seeing you all in the next episode. Thanks for listening. And thanks, Emma, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Queen of the Mystics.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening and peace out.